We're back in our continuing series of Destination Canada. Falling in Love with Train Travel Again is the title of travel journalist Sandra Feeney's article. Welcome to Talking Travel, Sandra.
Hi, Roy. How are you today?
We're having a very romantic show today, Falling in Love with a Train. How wonderful.
Well, that's very appropriate, seeing that Valentine's is just around the corner.
You're absolutely right. And what was interesting is the way you start out your article. You were saying that English author and critic Edward Forster once said, "Railway terminals are our gates to the glorious and the unknown. Through them we pass out into adventure and sunshine. To them, alas, we return." What a wonderful thing.
Isn't that a darling quote?
Yeah, I love train stations. I love taking the train from London to Gatwick, from Old Victoria Station. And I can remember when I first went over there many years ago, and I got onto one of their trains, and it was something out of one of these exotic, mysterious movies where, you know, you close the sliding door and somebody knocks on it and asks you for your passport, and you know, the Second World War spy is trying to, you know, hide his identity. Anyway, I'm getting carried away, but it's a wonderful article, and tell us more.
Well, the funny thing was, Roy, I hadn't been on a train for 40 years, and I mentioned in the article I don't know why, and I don't know why. Neither here or there, but it was kind of a serendipitous thing happened. I happened to be in a restaurant in Halifax with some travel writers, some colleagues, and the sommelier was telling us about this new class of travel that was being sponsored by Via Rail, and it's something they run through June, July, August, September, October, in the summer months, late spring, summer, early fall. And they always have a run that goes 6 days a week from Halifax to Montreal and onward. But this particular one, it was just a kind of an added run that they put on. It's called the Easterly Class. And it's really special because it's so interactive. There are animators on board, and they take you, on little journeys, like mini journeys, as you're doing your train ride. So it could be a wine tasting opportunity in the lounge. It could be a demonstration about a lobster trap and the lobster industry in Atlantic Canada, which is so huge. It could be just little vignettes and stories as you're passing through towns and villages en route from Halifax to Montreal to hear stories about the history and the culture and little anecdotes. So it's quite involved, and it's so social, and it's so much fun. It's like being on a family expedition for 20 hours. It was wonderful. It was just magical.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because Bob Fisher and I spent about 12 hours on the on a train through the Mexico desert, and it was a wonderful experience, so I can definitely identify with what you're talking about. Now, let's for our audience sake, the train is called the Ocean Limited. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it goes back to, what, 1904 or something?
Yes. It's been going for over 100 years from Halifax to Montreal.
Right.
Nonstop service, including during the war. And it has many, many features. It used to run a lot of cargo and, of course, the mail in the early days. The Eaton's catalog, people may be fairly familiar with that. So there were a lot of things that were quite critical to communities to get. Food and produce and agricultural things and post office services and on. So the ocean provided that service way back in the early 1900s. And it's still going strong today. Of course, it doesn't have the cargo component. The cargo are human beings like us. But it's just a great service. And I'm just so glad that I found it again. It's just, I really have fallen in love with this train travel. And just as a little aside, I'm taking the train again, and on Valentine's Day, the 14th, and going to London, Ontario. A bit further journey, it's 30 hours, but I'll tell you, I just can't wait.
How wonderful.
Mm-hmm. But I think you probably found the same thing, Roy, when you were traveling by train, that you really can let down. You're not worrying about connections. You're not worrying about some weather pretty well. You're not worried about your next meal, where it's going to come from, because you know there's a dining car and you know there's going to be wonderful food. And it's just such a relaxing, relaxing way to travel.
And without the anxiety, without the anxiety of checking at the airport, going through all of that stuff, and you're absolutely right.
To meet new people, and I made new friends that are still friends right now. We correspond, and it's just delightful.
That's exactly the way we found it, going through the Copper Canyon. Not only was the view extraordinary, but the service was great. The food was wonderful.
Yes.
And so it was terrific, and I agree. It's a great way to travel. Now, you mentioned in your article that there was a person on board called the learning coordinator.
That's right.
And so they, as you pass through all of these towns and villages, they could just chat about the areas you were passing through and explaining the history.
The learning coordinator would be much like a guide. If you were on tour in a town or a city and you hired a guide to take you through to highlight certain things and, you know, fill you in with information about the history and the culture of a community or a city.
Right.
So really, she was our guide, and we had her from the time we stepped on board to the time we left. And so she was always around, and sometimes she did very proactive things, demonstrations, and we would know ahead of time when the wine demonstration was going to be or when she was going to discuss a particular community. And then at other times, you know, we could just roam around on our own, go upstairs in this magnificent domed car, which you just could see forever. And so you had the choice to be, you know, by yourself, have lots of privacy, find little places just to relax or read or watch a movie. Or you could talk with her privately by yourself, ask as many questions as you wanted. And sometimes, as I mentioned, she would have these hands-on demonstrations or planned programs during the journey.
And you say many of these get-togethers took place in what you referred to as the park car, and there's also a large common area, much like a living room, and the smaller, more intimate room that also serves as a bar.
That's it, uh-huh. And the park car is the very end of the train, so you not only have this in wonderful living room area, you can look back, you can look on both sides, there are lots of windows, and directly above that is the dome car, or the observation deck. And again, that would be just like sitting in a very high, swanky bus with completely glass windows totally surrounding you. Oh, it's quite awesome. Beautiful.
Well, and as you mentioned, it brings people together because, as I recall, we sat in this living room type area, which in fact was the bar car, but it was situated so we could sit around and chat. So for 8 or 9 hours, we just talked about things that we probably would have never had an opportunity to do just on a tour or on an airplane. You're only going to get into so much conversation with the person in the next seat. And it was a marvelous experience from that aspect.
Well, you certainly can get to know people at a different level.
Yep.
And it's much like having someone in your home where you're chatting, and it's much more intimate. And it's wonderful. I met this gentleman, Nelson, who in fact had been on a train as a porter for 42 years. Imagine that.
My Lord.
And he had been on that train on the ocean, which brought him into Montreal, and then he went on, and he worked right across Canada, back and forth for 42 years. It was wonderful. I loved hearing his stories. And aside from his wealth of information about train travel and Canadian history, he's also an avid cook, so he shared with me some recipes, and I've done them at home since. It was pure delight, and that wouldn't have happened on a plane. Planes have their own charm, and certainly they're fast and efficient and all that good stuff, but I've never met people where I felt that I had time to develop a relationship and really communicate.
And what was also
special.
What was also interesting is that that you'd met someone else who had a phobia about flying, and yet his wife worked for an airline.
Isn't that funny?
That is really amusing.
That in the story. That was so hysterical.
I loved it.
And again, a chap who's now become a friend, and we correspond, and he has this wonderful used bookstore, and he's just a sweetheart. But he is fearful of flying, never could get in a plane, and his wife works for an airline. Too funny.
Yes.
Anyway, they've worked it out.
And she flies, and he takes the train, and they meet at whatever destination.
They meet at the destination. That's right. Yeah.
That's a terrific story.
Yeah. He's now, still working on her to get on the plane. She knows, on the train. I think she's given up on him, knowing that it's just not going to happen.
Right.
But he's still working on her to get on the train, and I think that's going to happen this year.
Well, that's a great story. But the other interesting thing that you point out is that you can also have time to yourself and
yes.
lots of privacy yes. if you so elect to do that.
It was so relaxing. I felt as if I were on vacation, and I don't have many vacations where I can just do nothing. So if I want to twiddle my thumbs, look out a window, put my feet up, have a snooze, have a nap, that doesn't happen a lot in my life.
Right.
So to have, you know, it was really a day and a half, and so I had plenty of opportunity just to have some downtime and time with myself, and that was very special, very very special, just to totally relax. And I read a little bit, and I snuck in probably two naps in there, which was. I mean, I haven't done that since I was a kid, Roy.
Well, well deserved, I'm sure. Now, we have did a little less than a minute left, but tell us about getting the little tricky tip that someone gave you about walking around the train. I think it's hilarious.
One of the staff, because I was having difficulty, as many people do on a train, you kind of roll back and forth. Even on the smoothest of journeys, you're bound to be kind of bumping into the alleyways and the galleys and whatnot, because there's not a lot of space in those little alleyways. Anyway, here's the tip. Relax your knees, bend them a little bit, turn your left foot to 10 o'clock and your right toe to 2 o'clock. So, and then walk. So, knees relaxed, bend a little bit, and just turn your toes out a little, and you might feel a bit like a duck.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Waddling down the aisles,
right.
But trust me, you won't be banging around. It's great.
I just tried that, and I do seem to be walking like a duck.
Uh-huh.
Kay, we've got to run, but just if you will, how does one get in touch with the ocean train experience if they elect to go?
Oh, I could wring my own neck here. I don't have that right in front of my nose, but please,
well, there's
let's
a
get
link.
Everybody to go to the website,
right.
Talking Travel, and
yes.
to go to my article, because
right.
there's a direct link to Via Rail, there's a direct link to the Easterly class,
right.
and there's tons of information about this amazing, amazing train that you can board in Halifax and go right to Vancouver.
And it's a great article, and we certainly encourage you all to read it more in depth by going to the website, and interestingly enough, some super photos.
Thank you.
And, Kay, it's always a pleasure, and we thank you for sharing your experience and your article with our audience.
Well, this has been great fun, Roy. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
Happy Valentine's.
Thank you, my dear. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.